This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Have you ever stopped to wonder what exactly success means to you? Is it money, fame, power, all of the above or none at all? I'm Dashran Johan and this is Redefining Success, a show where we speak to passionate people from various fields about their lives, what makes them tick and what the word success means to them. Joining me on the show today is Nalini Elumalai. She's a human rights activist and also a senior program officer at Article 19 Malaysia. Welcome to the show, Nalini.
Thanks for having me on your show again, Dash. It's always nice to talk to you.
Nalini, the last time I had you on a show to talk about yourself, your life, it was on Good Things. We spoke about your personal journey in activism, your encounters with the police, the various protests you've organized and participated in throughout the years. But today I want to talk to you about activism as your career and your perspective on success. How do you define success, Nalini?
I think success in my field and personally to me means an increased environment that enable equal participation, where people can speak freely without discrimination. Any indication of changes in behavior or perspective towards this in social or workplaces, even nation building. Because I believe that the success in my field is a collective. And as an activist, you know, we have to remember the real work. Our real work is in creating change. So I think that's how I measure or define success for me. That when I see the society that we live in, progress or have a more participation or more freedom of expression, I think that's what makes success to me, in my opinion.
Right, and that's very interesting because I think you're the first person who I've had on the show to say something this unique. And basically, you're saying that the way you look at success, the way you look even as an individual, how whether you are, you're successful or not, or whether you have achieved little successes here and there, is based on the collective sort of growth or nation building of a society, and in this case, Malaysia. So you're saying that, for example, previously in our previous show, we talked about the ISA protests. So for you, it's like, okay, now the goal is for us to abolish ISA. If we abolish ISA, then that is one success. Is that how you view the word success?
Yeah, I think like in the human rights work and field, success, as I say, is a collective. And it's not just about like when you do something and then you get rid of something, then it's okay. But it's also about changing behavior of people in the society, right? To be more tolerance, for example, or more acceptable, for example, people who have no, we want to see a society where there is no racism, for example. Until and unless we achieve that, I think there are a lot of, it's like a work in progress, right? And success, in my opinion, also means like how we can maximize our impact by involving others and communicating our message well to the public. So, you know, when we can see that when public support your cause, when there are more progressive allies and supporters, and that is success for me, in my opinion. But if you don't get any support from the public for whatever that we do, and personally, I always remember that I'm an activist. My work is to create change and pull more people together to make this change. So I think, as I say, it's something that very collective. And it's not individual thing, it's everybody.
Right. Yeah. And why did you decide to become an activist?
So I was a student in UKM.
Right.
I was a student activist. It's called Jawatan Kuasa Kebajikan Mahasiswa Mahasiswi. So it's basically, just work together with the underprivileged communities, marginalized. And then, you get some sense like something is not right in this country and something is not really going well in terms of protecting the rights of the most marginalized in the society, right? So I think in my mind, even at that point of time, I was like, I want to continue to do this work. It wasn't even like whether I want to be an activist or not, but in my mind at that point of time, I want to continue to do this work. But after my final year, right, after I graduated, or even in my final year, I decided like I want to be an activist. And that is my that is the choice that I made.
Right.
And I want to serve different communities, you know, and I want to make change in this country and make a better place for everyone to enjoy our rights without any discrimination. So that's how I became an activist.
And when did you realize, because, you know, you were studying and you know, you started helping out certain marginalized communities and you realized that this is the path that you want to do. But at which point did you realize that you could actually focus on this full time and, you know, it can become a career, you can dedicate your life to this?
I think it was always in my mind when I became an student activist. You know, I think for me, when I in the 3 years of my studies in UKM, and I see a lot of stuff as well. Like, you know, we have seen you know, people's house being demolished.
Right.
I've been arrested together with other activists. You know, I have seen how people struggle. I was seeing how poverty have taken away, you know, someone's house and things. I've seen a lot, I think, at that point of time. And I cannot just stand and watch it, right? And for me, like, okay, you know what I can do to make change? What I can do to make somebody else's life better? And how I can make sure that, you know, that somebody can live with dignity and human rights.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that always in my mind. And as I say, like, you know, when I was finishing my third year, everyone was asking as well, like, oh, what do you want to do? Where you want to go? You know, which job you're applying and stuff like that. But in my mind, it's not about, it's not the job, but it's my responsibility, you know, and I want to contribute in any ways that I can to make the change. It's like I had a mission even at that point of time, that,
right.
You know, and I want to carry on that mission in something more valuable, I guess. So I think I found, you know, organization like Chariot, for example, at that point of time, you know, Party Socialist Malaysia, mm-hmm. And then I joined Swaram. So I think, you know, it just there's always available a venue for me to go and explore that, and I just joined, and here I am.
Were there points, you know, because you brought up something interesting, and that is that, you know, this isn't just a job. A lot of other jobs out there, people just look at it as a, you know, this is a means to an end. I need to make money and this is what I can do. So I'm going to do this and I'm going to make money. But for you, you didn't look at it at least, you know, at the start. And even now, you don't look at it as a job necessarily. You say it's like a mission. When you started this mission, did you ever need a day job to sustain this path you've chosen? Or was it, did you always find that you can always sustain yourself even just focusing on the mission and without being distracted by other things? Or did you have to balance, you know, maybe work at a corporate job and then, you know, and try to make some money while working on your mission at the side? Or, you know, has it always been just the mission from you for you since the start?
I think, firstly, I'm very lucky to have a sustainable
right.
Job to carry on my mission and mm-hmm. my responsibility. I think, like everyone else, right, I'm also a human being. I also have my needs.
Absolutely.
Responsibility. I think every activist, we all have our needs and responsibility. We need, you know, to look after our families, to look after mm-hmm. people that we care for. And we need to pay loans and all sort of things
right.
as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not completely extraordinary from others. We have the similar kind of, you know, expenses that we need to, we need money to sustain mm-hmm. that our life. Mm-hmm. The thing is, like, I'm doing this for full time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we might not have a very luxurious lifestyle, you know, and we might be different from others, but, you know, end of the day, we do get paid for our labor and we do get paid for things that we want to do. And then so that we can carry on do other stuff, you know, like we need money to travel to meet communities. And I need to
right.
have some sort mm-hmm. of mode of income to do that. So if I want to continue to do my activism, I do need to have a sustainable income as well. but that income comes from the human rights work that I do. So I think we need some sort of a sustainable mechanism. I do have, come across a lot of activists who actually work in very different fields, not full-time human rights work, but they always actually have to want to contribute back to the struggle. So they actually work in different organization or different field, but then, they earn the money also so that they can continue to do the human rights work as well. So we do have this kind of situation. End of the day, it's just that we all need some sort of sustainability in our life so that we can continue to do our work. Also, we can continue to play a role as a daughter, in our family, and as a sister, and look after your families and things like that. So we do have to have a balance on that as well, because, most of us who came from middle class, for example, your family rely on you as well as a support. Then you cannot, ignore your family and then continue to do what you want to do, but then you have other responsibility to fulfill as well. So I agree with that.
Were there points throughout your career, because you've been doing this for a very long time now, were there points where you felt like, this part isn't going to work out? Perhaps for some of the reasons you have brought up, this idea that, yes, you need, you still need, you're just an ordinary human being at the end of the day, just like anyone else. There are bills to pay, so on and so forth. And perhaps this particular career cannot afford you a luxurious lifestyle and things like that. Were there points where you contemplated leaving this path to, or you perhaps thought, this isn't going to work out anymore. I've been dedicating for a long time, but I perhaps need to switch. Did you consider, have you had those thoughts pop into your head that you need to switch to a corporate job, for example, and so on and so forth, for the purpose of finances or any other reason?
No.
That's great. That's fantastic.
I think, as I say, I have a mission in my life that, I wanted to achieve, right? I don't think I wanted to choose a different path until I achieved that. And I don't think I need to go into a different path because, here my responsibility is still not finished, right? And I'm aware activism can be different for everyone. But I was an activist from a very young age. I was made aware that, if you want to bring a change, we need a very organized movement, civil societies, political parties to bring change in this country. So I want to do, this until we achieve something, until, my mission is has achieved something very meaningful. So until and unless I achieve that, I don't think I want to switch into other job and things like that. I think I can still manage.
Absolutely. Nalini, how were you during your schooling days? Because you're sort of venture into activism, or at least, really when you seriously started moving in that direction, happened when you were studying in UKM. But what about when, you were in primary school, secondary school? What were you like in school? Did you get good grades? What were your interests and ambitions back then? Were you planning to, at any point in your life, do something else? Did you, want to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, or maybe you wanted to do something completely different, like become an actor or something?
So my school days, I think not bad, I did well in my studies, I guess, and I was active in sports and extracurricular activities, especially in my primary and secondary schools. But when I did my STPM, it was very challenging because it's a very tough exam. And when I did my STPM, it's very partly, there's only one or two tuition centers. And at that time, my family was not afford to send me to tuition center. So I have to study on my own most of the time, and it's quite challenging. So I just focused on my studies and aimed to get into university. Eventually I did. My grades, I think I would say it was decent. I think I did my best in everything that I did in the past. Overall, looking back now, I'm happy with what I get it. The most important is I enjoyed my school days. And I enjoy learning. I enjoy going to schools. I like to study. So I enjoyed the process of it. And of course, you know, like, I think when you're talking about ambition, there's always a standard list, right?
Right.
teacher, lawyer. Right. It's not wrong. People yeah, have the ambition, which is fine, you know. But I think it's like a very standard list. And I had the same list as well. I'm not going to lie, right? Because we all grew up in such kind of environment as well. Right. But I think it was changing from time to time. Initially, it was teacher. And then I wanted to be a doctor. I took, you know, science stream, but then I was like, okay, this is not for me.
Right.
And then I wanted to be a lawyer. And then, and I think at one point I wanted to be a music teacher, for example, right? But just like looking at the choices, you know, you can see that it's all very service centered.
Right.
Like, you know, you're providing service to someone. Maybe that was always in my mind. But now I'm extremely happy that, you know, I found something that I love. Doing as well.
If you if you could go back time, step into a time machine and just go back in time, let's say to when you were 12, 13 years old perhaps, and tell your 13-year-old self that this is what you're doing right now, you know, for the past many, you know, more than a decade already, you know, you've been in activism, you've faced off against the authorities, and you know, you have been arrested and all of that. If you told your 13-year-old self that, do you think she would be surprised, or she would be like, huh, okay, that makes sense?
No, I don't think she would be surprised. She'd be like, good work. You know, I think she'll be happy that, you know, I choose something that I love to do, and I enjoy doing it. I think even in school days, you know, I kind of always have stand up for my friends who are from very marginalized or underrepresented. You know, you have these bullyings and things like that in schools also. And I always have stand up for my friends who have been bullied and things like that. So for my 13-year-old, I think she won't be surprised.
On the show with me today is Nalini Elumale. She's a human rights defender and senior program officer at Article 19 Malaysia. After the break, I ask her, what does it take to make activism a career in Malaysia? Keep it here on Redefining Success, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Redefining Success. I'm Dashan Johan. And on the show with me today is Nalini Elumale, human rights defender and senior program officer at Article 19 Malaysia. Nalini, paint a day in the life of an activist. What does your busiest day look like?
So first of all, your day can be very normal. Like you have meetings, like you have interviews just like this. or you can have, you can just do your, you know, writing your human rights reports and things like that. But the thing that every activist, you know, we need to be ready for the most is that unplanned surprises.
Right.
You know, so, sometimes people will be called for investigation, for example, or you yourself will be called for investigation. Mm-hmm. So I think there's always a surprise element in our work, you know. Of course, I have a list of things to do every day. And, you know, and that is planning and comes with a lot of follow-ups and things like that. But there's always unplanned activities that we also need to be aware of and always stay alert. You know, things can go very difficult at sometimes. So, yeah, I mean, I think it depends, you know. I wouldn't say all the days are very, very busy, but some days can be very calm and very normal. Some days are extremely hectic, with, you know, because I also will have meetings at night, for example, with my colleagues from UK. So it's different day to day, and my life is totally different from other activists for sure. So it all depends on, you know, the day to day. And I take everything from, you know, one day to another day. So it's like I live for the day and I see what I'm doing on this day is more important to me. Yeah.
Right. What does it take to make activism a career in Malaysia? Is that even a question that you should be asking? Should you have that perspective, like, when I grow up, I want to be an activist and make it a career? Is that a right question to ask? How do you process this? And what does it take to be a successful activist in Malaysia and make it something that you want to dedicate your life to?
As I said, I think our role is very different from maybe compared to, you know, other jobs.
Absolutely.
You know, and we don't have this is not a job that I go at 9 o'clock and I finish work and then, you know, I can focus on something else, which is fine. You know, people going doing that work is also fine. I'm not saying anything about it. Mm-hmm. But our job and role is a bit different. You know, we sometimes we work 24 hours, you know, just to making sure that things, you know, for example, published. Or, you know, like last Sunday, there was a farmer was arrested, for example, for, you know. So we have to, we will, you know, we have to stand by and making sure that he's being released. And that, like, couple of hours was spent just for that. And then he was released, like, 1:30 a.m. in the morning. And all our friends, you know, in Para, they go back, like, maybe around 2 or 2:30.
Right.
So sometimes, you know, our life is that. But I think we are in a period where getting... people are interested in getting involved in cause like human rights, right? That they care about. And the discourse around it is much more easier than before when I became activist. Like, I think there was a lot of, you know, stereotypes when I was an activist before. Like, you know, there's always a labeling against activists like troublemakers. You're not being really accepted well in society, you know, like people always see that you're very opposition and things like that. But I think now things are changing and more people are showing interest to be part of activism because of the information that available, because of discourse and all sort of things that, you know, now we have the social media and things like that. The perception of activism may have changed as well, but I think most important to everyone who wants to be an activist to understand is activism is not a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a commitment, it's a contribution, and you need to have that in mind. See, we are not coming to human rights work to have fun. I mean, there are, you can, but it's not a hobby that you right. can, you know, that you want to do. Oh, okay, I have nothing else to do. Let's go and do this and make myself. But it's not that way. It's more like a long-term commitment, and you need to have the interest in you, and it should come from within you. Nobody should force you to become somebody, right? It should come from within you, and then it comes with commitment. And it's not easy, but if anybody wants to be an activist, you know, all people need to keep in their mind, you know, you're not doing a hobby here. It's not a hobby. It's a commitment. And if you're willing to commit, if you're willing to give your time for that, then please, by all means, join us and make a change.
What do you have to be willing to sacrifice? Do you even have to sacrifice? Because there are jobs where you're not necessary. I mean, every job, you're sacrificing something. You're either sacrificing your time, you're sacrificing money, you're sacrificing your enjoyment, you're sacrificing fulfillment to do, you know, whatever it is, like everything you do, like you are making some sort of sacrifice, you're trying to find some sort of balance and all of that. What do you have to be willing to sacrifice to become an activist?
I think, as you say, Dash, very clearly that, you know, every jobs need sacrifice, I guess, you know, everything that people do, they need to make some sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
Some spend most of their weekends at their workplace so that they can achieve their goals, for example.
Right.
You know, and some have to, you know, be far away from their families so that they can do what they love to do. But in my opinion, sacrifice and activism is nothing new, and people shouldn't be feeling like, you know, oh, we have to sacrifice a lot and things like that. But if you want to make changes, we need to make some sacrifices, I guess. You know, again, it will be differ from individuals to individuals. But what most important is like as I said, that, you know, it's a long term commitment, and then it's a long term cause as well. And struggle can be slow, struggle can be take its own time, and change can take its own time. So the question is like, are we willing to commit more time, to get what we want?
And you have to be mentally prepared in the sense that, okay, I'm going to perhaps sacrifice my safety to a certain extent, perhaps I may have to sacrifice my family safety to a certain extent. Are these things that you have to think about as well if you want to become an activist? Because, you know, if you want to become a teacher, this isn't things that you have to think about. If you want to become an engineer, you may sacrifice other stuff, but you're not necessarily, you don't have to think about these things. You will just do your own stuff, mind your own business and go home. Again, we are not saying one way is right or the other way is wrong. It's just to, you know, paint a picture. Are these sort of things that you have to be mentally prepared for when you become an activist? Safety, for example?
I think yes, because, you know, our work comes with risk as well.
Mm-hmm.
Our work comes with a lot of challenges as well. And of course, you know, your especially your loved one, you want to protect them as much as you can as well. And I think in our work now, especially at this point of time, we have many ways that how we can you know, rectify some risk that we have in our work and how we can protect our family. You know, we have much better mechanism, I guess, that, you know, we can talk about this with our family. Most important, I think, for an activist is like to make your family, your loved one, to understand the kind of job you're doing. Because it's not only you have to be mentally prepared for it, but they also, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they also need to know that the risks that involve, they also need to know the kind of thing that, you know, the your work can bring change and all sort of, they need to be informed about what's going to, you know, happen to you or, you know, in your job, what are the things that you're going to face, so that they also can be ready for it. And, you know, it won't be a surprise for them when even something happened, but if they already know that, you know, this is how this might happen and we need to be prepared. So I think for me, of course, you know, we kind of mentally prepared for this, maybe because we are doing this for a long time, then it became something that we kind of know how to handle it. For someone who knew, I would say that keep talking to all the other activists, you know, keep talking to your family. I would advise, please don't hide anything from them, because
right.
I think, you know, the risk is also can reach to them as well. So don't hide anything from people that you care for, you know, tell them the truth and then make sure that you also, you know, have mechanism to protect them. And they should know the risk that comes within your job as well.
Mm-hmm.
But but most important also, they don't stop you from being what you want to be.
Right.
You know, so it's something that, you know, you find a balance, and the balance should be, you know, within the family members. And the most important is like, don't hide anything from your family.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Nalini, I want to ask you, like, you know, like 2 points to a similar question, and that is, what is the biggest challenge or one of the biggest challenges of being an activist in Malaysia specifically? And also on that same note, the biggest joy of being an activist in Malaysia?
I think there are a few challenges. Like you can say that few layers, like one, you know, as a generally the activists or human rights defenders, we have very unfriendly reactions from the state or the government, right?
Right.
There's a constant intimidation, harassment, risk of persecution or prosecution. That remains the main challenge. You know, we face many obstacles to do our fundamental work, which is to protect and promote human rights. Secondly, you know, as a woman, like, you know, as a woman activist, we also have other kind of challenges to handle with. Like, you know, we have discrimination, we have stereotypes, trolling, sexism, racism. You know, we have to deal with that as well as a women activist, you know. So we need to create an environment where we are free from bias, discrimination or stereotypes or sexism or harassment, you know, so that we can have more women activists on the field of activism. So that is challenges as a woman, you know. We also, there's a lot of anti-human rights narrative that being sold to people, right?
Right.
We have this environment where there are a lot of opinions are going around, and some of the opinions that very anti-human rights stand out because a lot of people, you know, kind of consume that idea. So we have a tough job to reach out to people from all walk of life to bring changes in attitudes and perception, you know. Sometimes when we have a very planned community at one advanced program or human rights campaign, the program must reach out to the primary audience. If it doesn't, then, you know, we have a lot of work to do. So we also have that sort of challenges as an activist. We also need to fight with different opinions and bring our opinion forward. We have a lot of challenges. You know, we don't just solve our own issues on our own, because we believe that our job is not one solution to one campaign, but our work is to empower people to be a part of a long-term solution. You know? And our work is not like, I come and I done my job. It's not like that. As I say, it's a collective and everybody's work. So until, you know, we have a lot of challenges we all need to face together. And I think one of the another challenges of activism is that the fights are very long.
Right.
Sometimes the progress can be very slow.
Yep.
As in many fields, you know, the burnout is a serious risk and challenge as well, right? People get burnout. Yep. You know, I've seen people join activism and left because of burnout as well. So I think we need to create a very positive environment and ways to support each other. You know, so that we can have activists stay longer in the struggle, you know, and we don't want to lose any good activists or, you know, people who are very talented.
Right.
So I think the joy is like when I see, you know, those people, especially the rights being denied, when they get their victory, like, you know, I think that is my joy. I like watching it when people get their rights, you know, and they can live a very dignified life. I think that is my job.
And on that note, how do you measure growth? Because again, you know, if you are a, let's say, an entrepreneur or a business owner, generally, when you ask them, they measure growth. Okay, this year, this is my company's revenue. This is the bottom line. Then next year, this is my company's revenue. If it's increased, okay, then there's growth. You know, or if I'm hiring more staff, then there's growth. You know, if I move to a bigger office, then there's growth. But as an activist, do you reflect on growth? Whether 2022, you know, there's growth for you compared to 2021, 2023, whether there's growth for you compared to 2022. Do you measure these things? And if you do, how do you do it?
I don't think I measure in that way. I don't know about others, but as I said, when I measure success differently as well, right? And growth means like I want to see less polarized public discourse,
right?
In 2022, for example, to see less action from the authorities when it's come to protest or articulating an opinion, for example, we would like to see our work, you know, engage with the public and how information can change behavior. You know, that how I want to see whether, you know, there's a growth or not in terms of people changing their behavior,
right,
in terms of how much space people are, you know, claiming from, you know, even in the very limited environments. I think I want to see like growth in such a way, like how people's change behavior are changing. You know, for example, even the, for example, like reporting on minorities,
right.
You know, I want to see like, you know, the way media reporting on minorities this year compared to last year, like whether it has changed or it has became worse, you know. So I think that's how I want to see, like how people have responding to certain things on social media, for example, whether people coming out and say, oh, no, this is racism, stop it. Or people are, you know, saying, oh, this is fine. You know, I see through a discussion, I see through people's engagement on issues and public discourse, you know. And I think the way we measure is maybe completely different from one to another. So, but this is how I want to.
Right. And that's another, you know, based on what you're saying, I thought of something else, right? And this is also something that I've been asking a lot of the other guests. So usually at the start of the show, they will tell, you know, what their definition of success is. And then I'll circle back and ask, you know, okay, based on your definition of success, where you are right now, do you find that you are successful? I want to ask that question to you, and how do you even begin to answer it? Because your definition of success, it's so admirable. It's so tied to the collective, community growth, nation building. How did you feel that you are at a point where you are successful yet? And also something else on that same note, you brought up earlier, right? You said that you are on a mission and you just cannot see yourself doing anything else until your mission is complete. But as an activist, what does that complete mission look like? Is it a utopia? You know,
I think, Dash, the most important, as I say, you know, you said it very nicely that, you know, it's a collective. I think every steps, everything that, you know, human rights communities, activists, doing in this country, like every steps we are taking, every bit of contribution people are making, you know, it's very important. Because what we're talking about now, we want to achieve something in the future, right?
Right.
We want to have a better future. But if you don't do anything now to make that happen, then there will be a regret. But anything that we do, it's considered, you know, it's a step towards it. We are progressing. And that's what I want to see. Like, even if it's, you know, even if it's just getting one or two people talking about something, it's fine, you know, because at least some issues nobody wants to talk about. And now suddenly there's a discussion going on and people are exercising their freedom of expression and they want to be part of the discourse. And I think, you know, the most important is like how we bring everyone together in this process and, you know, not excluding anyone in this process, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone should be in this together. So for me, you know, like as I see, it's a very collective. I can't stand out and say that this is my success. How could I say that when I say that success is collective, when I say right. activism mm-hmm. is collective, and we are talking about, you know, change, and change doesn't come from one individual. I don't believe in that. And I believe that change is a collective and it has to be a collective mission. And of course, I have, you know, the my personal mission should be something that connected to the general mission of everybody right. in the field mm-hmm. as well. And our mission is not different from one to another. It's very clear. One day, even in the, you know, even in this year, for example, I'm not talking about 20 years from now, but even now, I wish that you and me or anyone, the you know, can walk on the street freely, safely, you know, without mm-hmm. need to be thinking about like, am I going to be discriminated? Am I going to be bullied?
Absolutely.
Am I going to be, you know, excluded from something because of my skin colors and things mm-hmm. like that? This is something that we need to do every day, you know, so that we can have a better environment in future. So I think for me, it's very much the mission is like how we can, you know, be a human being in this country without need to face any discrimination and things like that.
Before we wrap this conversation up, Nalini, what does it feel like? Because what you're doing as activism, like you said, it's a very unique thing compared to a lot of other jobs. What does it feel like waking up every day knowing that you're doing something that you love?
I think absolute honor and pleasure. And I think it's a privilege that I will never take for granted.
I think that's very well said. On that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Nalini.
Thanks, Dash. Thank you so much.
That was Nalini Elumane. She's a human rights defender and she's currently the Senior Program Officer at Article 19 Malaysia. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcast from. I'm Dashran Johan and this has been Redefining Success, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.